Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the Robot Industry Podcast. This is the podcast dedicated to advanced manufacturing, capital equipment, and the robotics and automation industry. My name is Jim Beretta, and I am your host.
In today's edition, I am interviewing Phil Szczepaniak. Phil is president of 3DIT. Phil is an engineer, a technologist, an entrepreneur. We have been friends. We've known each other for over 15 years. We have worked on many projects together. I would say Phil is one of the top industrial animators in North America. He is creative and he creates mind-blowing, innovative, technical animations. So 3DIT, it's the number 3, letter D-E-E-I-T. And welcome to the podcast, Phil.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Phil, as I mentioned in our intro, we've worked together for many years on many projects. And thanks for taking the time to be with me today on the Robot Nation podcast. I wanted to ask you a question about how did you get involved in creating what I call photorealistic technical animations?
Well, I went to college for mechanical engineering, and I've always had an interest in computer animation. But I originally thought of going into animation, but it required a Bachelor of Fine Arts to actually get into the animation program that I was interested in. So that scratched that from the list, and off I went to mechanical engineering. When I was on my work terms and kind of graduated from the program, I ended up asking a local CAD reseller if anyone in the area is using the animation software that Hollywood uses for industrial uses. And I linked up with a company and just learned, on the job, how to do all this animation and rendering for marketing. So the company was in the steel industry, and I basically worked on all of their products and rendered and animated their product line for their salespeople basically to take around on notebook computers at the time because the equipment was so huge. And that was pretty much it. And then continued on and ended up going my own way with 3DIT about, I'd say, 8 years ago.
And what are some of the key advantages of animation? Like, how else are they used?
Primarily, it's marketing. You know, everyone wants to explain their product or process somehow to their prospective clients, and animation is a great tool for that when some things are difficult to understand or difficult to explain. And visual explanation is kind of the best way to do it, just to explain how things work.
Video animation allows you to create versions and melt away layers. And we've done this on many projects between you and I, right? So you can show audience how certain elements work or don't work. As a marketer, I think it's one of the most compelling parts of what you do.
Yeah, it's really neat. Like, if you compare it to film and video, you have a lot of challenges if you want to show something internally or show different areas of a product. Whereas with the animation, we can defy physics, we can defy visual cues, and we could do dynamic cutaways, we can do transparencies and other really cool ways of showing components, like exploded views as well. But the cutaway views are really neat because you could just slice a machine in half like butter and you can see the internals.
What I like about that too is that if you've got something that is secret sauce and you have an audience that you don't want to show that to, and you have an audience you can show that to, then making different versions is just really, it's really easy.
Yes, you could totally be selective in what you want to show. So if there's some secret black box in your component, in your product, you can hide that visually using graphics.
So where do your customers see value in technical animations? Like, what initial problem are they trying to solve?
Well, yeah, like I said before, it's they're trying to sell something. I mean, that's the biggest thing is using animation as a sales tool. And part of that selling process is explaining the product and how it works and how it's better than your competition or, you know, things like that. So it's all about understanding and then simple visual communication. So that's what I always look at is, you know, no clutter. You're just telling a story visually, piece by piece, and then you curate it as best you see. And then kind of the perfect part is when you have a viewer that's watching the video kind of has that aha moment and understands the product. And that's when we know we've done a good job.
How does one get started in creating a techno animation with 3D? Like, where do you start? Is it, do you have a line layout or do you have a storyboard or videos or pictures? What do you need?
Well, we usually we'll start with a couple of emails back and forth and a phone discussion. And the main thing is to find out what you want to animate. So I have to learn a bit about the product or the process from the client, get up to speed. They know the product the best, so they'll explain it to me and what their key selling points are and what they want to see in the animation. And by that, we just create a basic script. You know, bullet points are fine. We don't get into the fancy storyboarding or things like that. And then we also view if they have competitor videos. We have a look at those as well for examples. And then a big part of it is if you have 3D CAD available, which most manufacturers now deal in some form of 3D CAD, be it SolidWorks, Autodesk Inventor, Pro Engineer, and all of those packages can spit out a file that I can use to create these animations. And that data set can be used downstream, like we use it for marketing, which is pretty neat.
So how long does it take to do an animation? I mean, it's probably how long's a piece of string, right?
Yeah, exactly. It could be a few days. It could be a few months. It's all dependent on the overall complexity, A, of the actual machinery or equipment, and then B is the what we're animating. So if there's, you know, different effects or things like that, like one animation I worked on was of a grain combine, and we had to show the individual grains traveling through this thing. So the complexity is the big part of how long it takes. And then, you know, dial it back to the easy example would be like something as small as a pen coming into pieces, you know, in 20 seconds and just showing an exploded view of a pen.
So how long should an animation be? I mean, we're all talking about these 2-minute videos or 1-minute videos. Like, is that what your thoughts are too?
Yeah. I mean, you kind of tend to lose viewership. Like my kind of golden rule is 60 to 90 seconds just to keep the engagement there. And it also, that 60 to 90 seconds has to be interesting video. So I try to get my clients to use minimal on-screen text, so bullet points so that you can read it. It's kind of difficult to have paragraphs of text and video at the same time. It's a bit much for the brain to process. So again, I keep jumping back to visual communication because, like, everyone says a picture is worth 1,000 words. So an animation is basically like a flip book of pictures. So you can really get a lot across without using words.
And where's the final use for some of these animations that you're creating, and what are the things can you do?
A lot of it is just trade show videos, YouTube videos on their, you know, on their YouTube channels for marketing, websites. Another big use is like stakeholder reviews. So if there's like a pre-manufacturing stage where there's a design that needs to be passed in front of a board of directors or something, then you used for that as well. Sometimes also in non-marketing uses, so for training videos where the overall look doesn't have to be fancy or photorealistic, but you're actually explaining how to assemble something or how something works. That's also a good one. And then still renders. That's actually a big part of the business is I call it virtual photography. So you can take these CAD files that I referred to before, and you can create photorealistic renders of a product before it even exists. Some examples of that are a consumer product that is made overseas that doesn't exist yet. They would bring it back here, but you're already doing all the marketing work up front, and then you don't have to deal with any photo studio issues with weird reflections or lighting or touch-ups in Photoshop. It's all done rendering-wise on our end.
And we've talked about this before. Sometimes I really like in engineering videos to have some text as a something that helps the viewer. What kind of languages can you do?
Yeah, we do voiceovers a lot. They're not necessary, but a lot of time we'll put in voiceovers in various languages if that's what the client requires. But I keep jumping back to this visual communication thing where you can, with the right motions and the right actions in your animation, you could explain things without a language barrier. So that's what we try to do initially, and then if we can't do that at that point, then the voiceover becomes the next step.
Thank you for that. What are some of the projects that you've done? And I know that people look at you as a competitive advantage, and so they don't want you to advertise what you've done for them. And I know you sign non-disclosures all the time, so you can't talk about a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a bunch I can't talk about, but I mean, everything that's on our website in our portfolio is usually on public domain already. So if it's hit their YouTube channel, I'm okay to share it. But I go back to that harvesting combine because that was a very challenging one. Usually the ones that I enjoy the most are the ones that are the most challenging for some reason. You know, if it's easy, it's, you know, you get through the project quicker, but I like the challenges of different techniques that I have to use, like cutaway views are very, I enjoy those, and I've done work for so many different industries that there's like medical industry, animating a prosthetic leg was really interesting. Just several other sectors that automation, so big robot assembly lines where I'm given all the cycle times and these static robots that are sitting on the line, and I've got this line layout, and it's like, okay, here's the cycle time. Now we're going to animate this to this 6-second cycle time. And I have to go through each station and create that.
I remember what you and I did a project in the machine tool industry, and we came back to you after the project was done and said, ooh, you know, we just need to have some little metal shraps coming out of the tool. And it was like, no one had ever asked you for that before. So it was a big challenging project. But that's the beauty of 3D animations is that you can keep bolting on different things to it.
Exactly.
And of course we use those images in trade shows and in brochures and PowerPoints and just wherever we could.
Yep.
So this sounds very expensive. We should probably discuss pricing. Like, how much does an animation cost?
Yeah, it goes back to our complexity discussion, but like it could be as little as the $2,000 mark, and then we could climb in up into the stratosphere, really. But you know, you could climb easily up into the $20,000 to $30,000 range, depending on your process and your video that you want to create. So again, it's that reference from the pen to the automation line. There's a big variance there. That's all dependent on complexity.
So we're recording this in May 2020, and we're kind of in the middle of our COVID outbreak. How do you think animations will be impacted by that?
Well, I mean, we already see that trade shows have been impacted. And, you know, even right now, I've had a few clients that have walked back from a trade show that's been closed off, but they're like, well, let's go ahead with this video because we'll put it onto our YouTube channels and show it online. I think with the, you know, travel restrictions and everything, I think that animations might become more important than ever so that you could do online meetings and explain your product to a, you know, prospective client in a meeting, show them the video and talk about your product online.
Absolutely. Like virtual trade shows or webinars or Zoom or Teams.
It's a
perfect venue for that. Phil, thanks very much for taking the time today. How can people find you, and how can people go and see some of your work?
Basically on the web would be the best, at 3deit.com, 3deit.com. And there's an online portfolio there and a demo reel. And also look me up on LinkedIn at 3deit. And that's about it, yeah.
I would like to thank and acknowledge our partner, A3, the Association for Advancing Automation. A3 is the umbrella association for the RIA, AIA, MCMA, and A3 Mexico. These four associations combined represent almost 1,300 automation manufacturers, component suppliers, systems integrators, end users, research groups, and consulting firms throughout the world that are driving automation forward. I'd also like to thank and recognize our partner, Painted Robot. Painted Robot builds and integrates digital solutions. They're a web development firm that offers SEO and digital social marketing and can set up and connect CRM and other ERP tools to unify marketing, sales, and operations. As web and digital is changing, Painted Robot is helping advanced manufacturers stay modern and competitive in the space. You can find Painted Robot at paintedrobot.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us at the Robot Industry Podcast, our email address is therobotindustrypodcast@gmail.com, or you can find me, Jim Beretta, on LinkedIn. If you have an idea, an interesting company or technology, or would like to be a guest or nominate someone to be a guest, please send me an email. We'll see you next time, and thanks for listening. Be safe out there. Today's podcast was produced by Customer Traction, and I'd like to thank my nephew, Chris Gray, for the music, Chris Colvin for the audio production, my partner Janet, and our sponsors A3 and Painted Robot.